Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
During a natural disaster or an economic collapse, you have to ask yourself a question. Am I prepared? Do I have everything that I need to survive and to protect my family? In order to gather this information and have it ready and available so that you can prepare now, go to www.newdebtelimination.com. That's newdebtelimination.com. Call me, Tahaka Amanayel Bay. For more details, area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is vital for us to prepare ourselves for whatever happened. There are many people across the country that weren't prepared when the time came. Don't let that happen to you. Go to www.newdebtelimination.com. Contact me, Tahaka Amanayel Bay, 904-303-9061. Well, just what is it that New Debt Elimination do? What are they all about? Well, to get all the information on New Debt Elimination, go to www.newdebtelimination.net. That's newdebtelimination.net. Learn all about what we do right there. All the information in regards to us and what we do involving our natural food production, growing organic food and herbs and spices, and teaching of contract law, and many other things are described for you in detail at www.newdebtelimination.net.
Welcome, Morris and Morris Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amanayel Bay, and this evening we're going to be dealing with part two of love, romance, sex, relationships between the brothers and sisters. And I have to apologize to you because we lost transmission the other day when we did part one. But today, we're going to go the distance on this thing, and we're going to get some things out there so we can clearly understand what we need to be doing inside the United States, what's going on inside these relationships, and how we can solve the problem. Now, our special guest is Lisa Parker. She'll be with us this evening. And she is the creator of the educational curriculum for the African-American girls inside the United States to build self-awareness and self-esteem. That's what she do. She's going to be in here. We're going to discuss this stuff this evening. And so you all sit tight. Keep in mind that the lines will be open, so that you, if you got a question or if you have a comment, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll be able to see that, and we're able to let you in. Now, the number to call in is 310-982-4184. That's 310-982-4184. That's the number to call in if you got a question or if you have a comment. Dial in that number, and we will open up the line so that you can let us know what's on your mind involving what we're discussing here today. The relationship situation. This is what we are dealing with.
Freeing up capital to make investments may not be as hard as you think. For those of you who have Facebook accounts, send me a friend request over there on Facebook and LinkedIn to Tahaka Amana Elbay. That's T-A-R-H-A-K-A. Amana is A-M-A-A-N-A and then E-L and of course B-E-Y. And you'll be able to see the actual documents clearly showing you how I was able to cancel my mortgage and property taxes contracts, and that way I have freed up capital for investments. To get the apparatus to do this with, go to www.newdebtelimination.com. That's www.newdebtelimination.com. It's not as hard as you think. Send a friend request on Facebook, and I'll grant that request so you can actually see the documents for yourself. Peace.
Okay. Now, I ran into something today that was very, very interesting. And I was on YouTube, and I was looking around, and I see a sister. Now, this sister here, she hates the fact that she is what we call so-called black. She don't want that. She got her a blonde wig. She got blue contacts. And she don't want to live around her own people. In her opinion, somebody else from another race is better than us and could do a better job taking care of her than us. And mind you, the sister is married. This was one of the most interesting things that I ever seen. And until my guests get in, I'm going to run a little bit of this, and I want y'all to check this out.
Now, Desmond and his wife, Tanisha, are married 3 years. They have three beautiful children. The problem? Well, Desmond says Tanisha is obsessed with being white. In fact, Tanisha moved her family from Chicago to rural Iowa to get away from her black neighborhood. Now, she even wears a blonde wig and blue contacts to blend in around town. But worst of all, Desmond suspects his wife is secretly having an affair with a white sugar daddy. Now, here's a glimpse into the mindset of Tanisha.
Almost 3 years ago, I decided to move from Chicago to Iowa to escape the black community. I decided the lifestyle of the white community in Iowa was the way I wanted to live. I don't care for the black race. I think the white race is more educated, civilized, and sophisticated. I'm embarrassed to be black. I want the white race to embrace me and treat me as if I was white, because I think and I act white. My family thinks that I should be ashamed of myself because I think and I act white, but I'm not going to be who they want me to be, because when I'm with them, I have to act ghetto, and I hate it. My husband and my cousins think that I have a white sugar daddy, but I don't. He's just a good friend that takes care of me. I think white men are better providers, and if I was with one, I would have a different life.
Wow. Desmond, does Tanisha talk like that at home or act like that?
Yeah, she does. She done lost her mind. She thinks she's Malibu Barbie.
She wears that?
She wears the wig, yes.
And the blue contacts?
And the blue contacts.
What do you think of that?
She's lost her damn mind.
So, how come you moved from Chicago to Iowa then?
She want
to
be around white folks. I don't know. I don't understand why. We from Chicago, the middle of the city, you know, nothing but ghetto, nothing but black folks. And there's nothing wrong. I have nothing, no problem with white folks.
Now, Chicago has the third largest black population in the nation, while the remote Iowa town Tanisha and Desmond now call home has approximately 200 black people total.
Yeah.
So what is this with this white sugar daddy guy? What's going on there?
I don't know. She claimed me just a friend, but I'm not 100% for sure what's going on.
Is she getting money from him?
Yeah, she getting money from
how
him.
Much?
I ain't give it to her.
How much?
I couldn't tell you how much it is.
She said she believes her life would be different, I'm guessing better, if she was married to a white man. Is that a concern for you being...
I think she need to go find one then.
Because
I'm going to be honest.
It must be painful. You're working hard.
Yes, every day. Take care of our kids and her.
So it's painful. Must be.
Very much, very much.
Does she go out on
she
her
own? She does. And I don't have no problem with her going out. It's just that, you know, you can't be... The people that she kicks it with is only white folks. If we having a get-together at the house, her friends come in, and then she makes sure they gone before the family comes.
What?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So she has two sittings, one for the white folk and one for the colored folk.
Yeah, ain't that crazy?
We're going to meet her, and I know some parts of your family, like her cousins, don't agree with how she's feeling.
Now, nobody do. We all feel the same way. She crazy. She lost her damn mind.
I think now we should actually meet Tanisha, don't you?
Yeah!
Find out why she feels like this. Let's welcome Tanisha. Come on out.
Malibu Barbie. Malibu Barbie here.
So, Tanisha.
Yes.
If you could be born again, what color would you be born?
All white.
Why? Why?
White is beautiful. White is pure.
So black ain't beautiful?
Black is beautiful,
so black ain't beautiful?
If you make it. But the way it is now, blacks are turning their color horrible, making a bad look for themselves.
What are your beliefs about black people, the black people that you've come across so far back in Chicago, for
example? I mean, where I come from, mm-hmm. blacks are killing each other. I live in Chirac. It is horrible there. I cannot raise my three daughters, our daughters, in a place where I don't feel comfortable, safe, and I don't feel like that's a place where I would want to raise my kids, our kids.
I get that, but what the whole thing, anti-black, would you call yourself racist against black people?
Yeah.
No. Oh, yes?
Just think about it.
Right.
You can have anything around blacks. If they see you with it, they want it. You can't.
Do you think your life would be better if you were married to a white guy?
I mean, my life would be different.
In what way?
We probably would have had a better house. We probably would have had a better car right now. His credit score probably would be super high right now. Yes, indeed.
You are crazy,
credit scores. You
are literally crazy.
Okay, I am crazy. You can call me whatever, but to be honest with you, I'm being who I think
Do you feel uncomfortable with our audience? We have so many black people in the audience. Does that worry you at all?
No, because there's security here.
Wow. Are you serious?
Security. I'm fine.
I'll
just security.
Settle down, ghetto rat.
You said it right. I'm glad you think it's funny.
Are you worried about me? Are you worried I might come over and mug you or something? Or am I okay?
The way she acts, you would think so.
No, but I'm interested in...
I don't feel any intimidation towards you.
Why am I different?
Just the way you talk.
Oh, the English accent.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Is that what you see as a white accent?
Yes. It sounds very good. I feel safe around you.
You hear this? She feels safe around you and don't even know you.
Okay, let's get serious for a moment. Now, this sugar daddy of yours.
I don't have a sugar daddy. Ooh. I don't know.
He gives you money for what?
I clean up this man's house. He's an older man.
Okay.
And I go and I clean up. Okay?
What you cleaning his bedroom, man?
No, I'm not.
Does he ever, can I ask you if he...
I'm not even going to answer that. That is just
how much money?
Silly.
How much money
ain't nobody going to give you money.
He gives me a lot of money,
yo.
But that's the most silliest thing you ever could have said.
I don't have to ask
him for anything, first of all. A man knows when you need something, and you don't have to ask for it. So I have never asked that man
for
one.
You ain't asked me for nothing either. I pay rent.
Exactly.
Oh, you don't
exactly.
ask for it.
That's what I said. Exactly.
I pay bills. You don't ask for it.
A real man.
I clothe all the kids. You don't ask for it.
He knows.
Can I ask what sort of things he's paid for?
I clothe you. You don't ask for it. This wig, I bought it. Even though I don't like it, but I bought it.
Ever cheat on my husband, okay?
You love him.
I love him.
The one thing I haven't asked you is why do you wear that blonde wig?
I mean,
she crazy.
Just think about it.
Okay.
There's no black girl in this audience have never, when they was a child, ever not wanted to have long, pretty blonde hair.
You can That's lie. Crazy.
You yeah. can lie and say that all you want, but the first doggone doll your mother bought you was a white doll. You comb hey. That hair every single doggone day, and you wish your hair was that long and pretty. So now I'm able to wear it, and I'm gonna blunt it.
All right. Now, one thing that your cousins say is that you kind of... Are you embarrassed about your cousins?
Yeah.
Yeah? Why? Why?
They are ghetto.
What happens when they come to your parties that you have with all these white folk? Do they mix with that?
No, I did that before and it didn't turn out right.
Why?
So now you live and you learn.
She kissed them out that... I told you, the white folks party first.
You live
and then the rest of the family.
Exactly. Well, what's wrong with your cousins being there? How do they act?
They want to take food home. People can't come and eat. So as soon as they get there, black folks always.
Hang on. Let's hear this. Hang on. What do you think? Hey, let's listen.
Yeah. Every time they come over, they got to take a plate home for their cousin, their auntie. They don't even live with none of them. They got to take food home every time they come over to my house.
Food.
And then when my guests come, there's nothing to eat. I don't have
time.
They
drink.
It's for everybody.
Exactly.
If you come,
you miss
the food, period.
Don't take no food out of my house.
Do they drink?
Is that a business?
Yeah. They will drink you up on that house in a home. Do you understand me? And not put on
That's
anything.
That's called partying.
Do they make you embarrassed?
Of course. Every time we go in to any club or anything, they got a problem. Want to dance all nasty, all on the floor, popping. Who does that? Who
It's called having fun. It's called having fun.
Okay. It's about classiness. They're not
really
classy
is.
Enough. All
it
right. Well,
really.
As you know, Cousin Sherry and Koshorna are here to set Tanisha straight. And we're... Now. The other thing that Tanisha is here to do, she's done a lie detector test. Because what did you want to find out?
What's really going on with this sugar daddy?
Okay.
Is she really cleaning the bathrooms or cleaning up in the bedroom?
Okay. We'll reveal the results of the lie detector too, so stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking with Desmond and his wife, Tanisha, who admits she's racist against her own race and she wishes she were white. In fact, Desmond suspects she's been having an affair with an older white man she met after moving the family from Chicago to a white community in Iowa. Now, Tanisha also admits she's embarrassed about her black relatives, including her cousins, Sherry and Koshorna. Do you hide them away?
You can't hide nothing about them.
Why can't you hide them?
Because they're loud. As soon as they come out here, I bet you they start screaming and hollering and acting all crazy. All this and that, putting their fingers all in your face. Sweetheart, you don't have to do all of that to get your point across.
We're going to meet your cousin, Sherry and Koshorna. So please welcome Sherry and Koshorna.
Big words out of context, boo-boo.
Okay,
we have more education than you do.
Okay.
Stop trying to use, because the word is not Pacific, it's Pacific.
Hey.
First of all, no one comes to your house and eat up all the food that you hardly know how to prepare. Second of all, you treat us like Rosa Parks. You make us get to the back of the line, and you feed your white friends first.
Exactly.
It's pitiful, Tanisha. Snap
no,
out of
not.
It.
No, it's not.
Don't nobody want to eat
done
your
it
food.
Before. Every time I invite y'all over, you sit there, you got to feed yourself three or four times.
We bought
Let somebody
food.
Else eat.
We
you
bought
don't,
the
no,
food.
No, don't.
Hey,
we don't.
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 Hey,
ladies, hi, welcome.
This girl makes an egg sandwich and leave eggshells in it. No.
Which one's which?
Your Koshorna.
Koshorna, I love your hair. What do you
Thank
think
you.
Of her hair?
And it's real.
Real black woman right there.
What? Come on. Her hair's pretty,
she
right?
Needs to go, she needs to go back to Africa,
yeah.
Jamaica, Haitian, whatever, 80, go back there.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe
real to the roots. Because let me tell you something. You know what this right here symbolizes? This symbolizes self-confidence.
Yes.
And I'm
No. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying.
Okay, just a minute. What about your hair's great. That's the, surely that stuff.
How old are you again? She's still rocking ponytails. Okay.
You have blue contact.
Exactly.
Are you serious?
Because I'm a blonde woman. I look good in it.
Are you? You got on that bleach. What you need to do is bleach your drawers, bleach your stuff, not bleach your hair.
Really? Okay. Do you think she's cheating on Desmond with this
white? Yes.
What?
Desmond, you heard her say, let me say, you heard her say she would leave you for a white man. Desmond, you are a good man. And this, even though that's my cousin, there's some trifling women out here, and that's one of them.
I would never say that I would leave my husband for any color race because I love Desmond. It doesn't matter what color they are. I would never leave my husband.
That's what you said.
Hold on. Y'all are making my words really messed up. What I said.
No, you make them
messed up. No. What I said was, if my husband died or he and me
got you wishing that on him?
Shut up. Why would I wish that on him? You sound silly.
No, that's not silly.
No, what I said was, if anything was to happen and we would never be together. Yes, I would never be with another black man before.
Desmond.
I've never said that I would leave my husband for a white man.
Yes,
what?
Why do you say you would never be with a? Surely love is love, and it just wouldn't matter whether the guy was black, white, green, yellow, or pink, would it?
Because I just don't want to be bothered with a ghetto family that's going to come
but
with
you're them. Ghetto.
You're the most ghetto.
You're ghetto.
This is ghetto.
This is ghetto.
It doesn't matter.
This is ghetto.
With you, you, everybody.
Hey, just a minute.
To do me.
Tanisha, you've got daughters.
Yes.
Are they allowed to play in the sun? You're happy
no,
with that?
No, no. She tell them don't play in the
after
sun.
After 6 o'clock.
Why?
She tell them don't drink coffee. That'll make you black.
It will. I don't drink it. She turn black.
If she wants
you
to have
black.
A white husband,
they
if she's grooming
they
them
will.
To
they
have
will.
A white husband.
They will.
Really?
They will.
Yeah. Why?
Because
I refuse
they will.
To let that happen.
They
I refuse
have,
to let that happen.
They're not going to have to struggle. They're not going
to
have to struggle.
I refuse to let that happen.
They're going to be able to have. They're going to make sure that they go to college. That's why we're in Iowa, because we're saving, and we're going
to
make sure that we give them a life
sure
that we never had. So, yeah, they're going
to
be with the white man.
Why do they have to be with a... I mean, I'm confused because I'm married to a white, half-Italian Australian. I've got two daughters who are mixed race. Mm-hmm. One of them is dating, and he's part of the family, a black guy. So have I worked that wrong? Should I be... And they can play in the sun. Have I kind of messed up there?
No, the only reason I don't let them play in the sun, they get sunburned, and that burn, and they turn dark. And when they turn dark...
Really, sunburn?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, they do.
Listen, I'm trying my best.
You're my cousin. You a strong black man. She don't deserve you. She will leave you at the drop of a dime. She will leave you.
Okay.
She's just waiting for the opportunity.
She's
just waiting
for the right.
So let me.
If she don't pass this test, I'm gonna leave her. So.
When we come back, here's the question. Does Tanisha have a white sugar daddy? Is he paying her for sex? We'll find out after this. Yeah. Welcome back. You're with Tanisha Desmond and Tanisha's cousins. Sherry, that's all right. For sure. Is that all right? What do your friends call you, your white friends call you?
Tanisha.
Onisha.
We grew up calling her Tanisha or Nisha. It doesn't matter. Since she's moved to Iowa... She wants you to call me Tanisha. Tanisha. I refuse.
What's the time?
How do you say it?
What's the problem? Mm-hmm. It just
Tanisha.
Because they want to talk
Tanisha.
That's so ghetto. I mean, just really.
All right, can I just look at people? Instead of everybody shouting, now, look, you said about blonde hair because it's pretty, et cetera. Now, this young lady here who's stunning, she has blonde hair. Stand up. She has blonde hair. Is that okay?
It looks good on her.
Is that okay?
You see her complexion, it works perfectly.
You're not her complexion, so it ain't working, boo. It ain't working.
I'm not even that blonde.
But
I'm not even that blonde.
Who hurt you? Like, what? Who hurt you? Who hurt you? That's all I want to know.
No one has hurt me. What it is that if I want to be different, it's okay for a black person to act white. Yes, it is. Because, yes, it's white people that act black.
I'm actually half black, half white. So I grew up seeing both sides of that.
Exactly.
Yes. My white side of the family is nothing pretty. My black side of the family, actually a lot more of them are well off compared to my other side of the family.
Somewhere down the line, your mother and your father or whoever is the white person that mixed you together, they end up being with the white person.
Personal experience, I'm sitting here letting you know, growing up with white people and black people, that I know for a fact that from personal experiences, there was a lot of bad things going on with my Caucasian half of the family as opposed to my African-American half of the family.
Thank you.
I'm speaking in behalf of the black ladies.
You right. Speaking about ghetto on the bottom of your hill? Who's that label? And pull off that wig and you will see your natural face.
You are cool with the white people. Do you ever fall into the trap of telling black jokes?
She tells black jokes, not just, you know, kikikiing like that. She tells stuff to degrade us.
Hello. I just want to say, when I look up here, what I see is a collection of beautiful black people. And I'm sorry that you cannot recognize it. I wish you can appreciate what you have. Because let me tell you, I grew up in grammar school. I was one of few black people in a white class. And that does not stop me. I'm comfortable in my skin, and I wish you were too. I'm educated. I have a bachelor's. I have a master's. And I'm going to pursue my doctorate. That's not going to stop me. I'm going to be comfortable in my skin. And I wish you were the same.
I'm comfortable in my skin with what I got on.
All right. Okay. Hey, I know lots of people want
to... Yes. I have one thing to say. This isn't even an issue of her thinking black people can't excel. Her family is full of people who are college graduates, who have went on to life to do wonderful, beautiful things. Right. It doesn't. She has an issue with herself and nothing that no one says to her. You can talk about her until you turn white. It's not going to help her situation.
Okay.
She needs mental health.
Okay. I'm happy with what I am. I'm happy with my hair.
No, you're not.
I'm happy with my color.
No, you're not.
Right. Desmond. Hey, one of the things Desmond wanted to know is about you and this so-called sugar daddy. You did a lie detector test, so I think it's time we got to the lie detector results.
Right.
Now, joining us is our white private investigator polygraph examiner, Tim Acosta. All right, so Tim, are you ready with the results?
Yes, I am.
Tanisha, we asked you, have you had intercourse with the white man you label as your friend? You said no. Tim?
Almost 3 years ago, I decided to move from Chicago to Iowa to escape the black community. I don't care for the black race. I think the white race is more educated, civilized, and sophisticated. I'm embarrassed to be black. I want the white race to embrace me and treat me as if I was white. My husband and my cousin think that I have a white sugar daddy, but I don't. He's just a good friend that takes care of me.
Now, this sugar daddy of yours,
I don't have a sugar daddy.
Well,
I don't know.
He gives you money for what?
I clean up this man town. Okay?
What you cleaning his bedroom with?
No, I'm not.
Do you think she's cheating on Desmond with this white man?
Yes. You heard her say she would leave you for a white man.
One of the things Desmond wanted to know is about you and this so-called sugar daddy. You did a lie detector test, so I think it's time we got to the lie detector result. Right. So, Tim, are you ready with the results?
Yes, I am.
Tanisha, we asked you, have you had intercourse with the white man you label as your friend? You said no. Tim?
The polygraph determined that Tanisha was being truthful.
Never.
It better been.
We
better
are
been. Better been.
We ask you, since being in a relationship with Desmond, have you accepted money from any man for sex? You said no. Tim?
Tanisha was being truthful.
I love my husband.
Well, you better be. You better
be. Tanisha, did you move to Iowa to be closer to a man other than Desmond? You said no.
No.
Tim?
Tanisha was being truthful.
You better be. This is going to be a wrap for you.
Hang on, let's keep going, Desmond. Would you leave your husband for a white man, we asked Tanisha next. She said no. Tim?
There's a dollar she's right.
Tanisha was being truthful.
All right. I wouldn't leave my husband for nobody, baby. I love him so much.
I love you too, but
we ask you.
Go wig and stand here.
Okay. And one more thing. During your relationship, have you had sexual intercourse with any other man besides Desmond? You said no. Tim?
Tanisha was being truthful.
All right.
There you go. I'm so lucky.
I love you.
So I can understand and I commend you as a mother for moving your children and your family to somewhere where they're safer and where they can do well. Now, I don't think anybody has a problem with that. But, I mean, I was brought up, like this young lady too, with a black parent and a white step parent. I have mixed biracial sisters and what have you. And I can't say that good or bad clings to any skin color.
Right.
It's just, you know. I totally get you may well have been very traumatized living in the area that you did in Chicago, but trust me, there are areas in white cities with all white folk or Hispanic folk.
No, Chicago's not bad.
But you can go anywhere. It's not the crime and what you went through isn't just an issue about skin color or race. Why is this white talking or white looking or black talking or black looking?
Why can't they just accept me for who I am?
It's not you.
If I want to be
not you.
If I want to wear wigs, if I want to wear my
contacts, I agree.
Why can't I be who I want to be?
I wear wigs too. But I don't down my own race. I like to wear blonde. I like to do other things. But I don't down my people. Let me tell you something. You can wear that wig and get it as white and high as you want to. Guess what? White people still see you as black.
But they are not intimidated by me.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Trust me.
Okay.
She would be in the ghetto if it wasn't for that hard-working black man right there.
That's a good
point.
This is never going to finish. You're absolutely right. You can look how you want to look and what have you. Can I just suggest to you and I have friends, white, black, every color of the damn rainbow, the blonde wig actually makes you look more black?
Right.
I said the same thing to you.
Thank you.
That's ghetto.
We will be right back. See you after this. Picture. Now, this is Shay and her cousin Seth. These two grew up like brother and sister, but today Shay's here to uncover a possibly terrible truth. She suspects her once beloved cousin Seth is a liar and a thief who sold.
Okay, Moors, we're back. This is quite interesting to me. We have a dark-skinned sister who has on a white blonde wig. She has blue contacts in her eyes because she's trying to identify with another culture. Area code 615. Could you tell me who you are, where you're calling from, which question or comment? 615.
Yes, sir. This is Cajente Bay out of Tennessee.
Hey, man.
Can you hear me?
I'm just Yes, sir. We hear you loud and clear.
Oh, yeah. That was hilarious right there, brother. I just had a few comments and a question.
That is the most interesting thing that I've ever seen. I've never seen it to that extent before, but today, when I ran across that, I was like, wow. And then we got this brother that she's married to. And he's trying to do everything he can to accommodate this situation and deal with the situation. Now, my question to you is, in your opinion, what would you do with a situation like that?
Run. Run, Doc. That's the first thing I would do. But,
I mean, now, you got a woman, all right, you and her, y'all in love, y'all married, you have three children, then all of a sudden, she come out with this thing where she now officially is making an all-out effort to identify with a whole nother race of people to the point that she wants her family to move to another community where ain't nobody else at that looks like her or be like her. So what you think?
Brother, I think a lot of things. First point, I think that a lot of our people, they don't want to face reality because I think it brings a lot of pain, you know, as far as, you know, their history and their culture. You know, they're so far away from it, they haven't did the proper investigation to understand who they are. I think when they find about the more about our people, just the more just non-confidence they have. Because of just lack of understanding who they are. That's why they're reaching for somebody else's ideology and philosophy.
Okay.
But it was amazing to me how the host, I mean, she was compromised herself. She was agreeing with everything she said.
Well, this was here is from over in London, England. And one thing I found out about the brothers and sisters there is they have not experienced racism like we have experienced it inside the United States. Their outlook is totally different. It's a totally different mindset. To them, it's like people are people. They don't look at any type of scientific nothing. They just, you know, to them it's just it doesn't matter who you are. You supposed to go have children with anybody you feel like you're in love with, and all of this kind of business.
They don't look at none of that. Wow, and you know she talked like she was so educated, you know. I have this, I have that, you know, the host I'm talking about. And, you know, I come from London, and I have this accent. She's
the host of the show. And what I try to get people of African descent to do is to look at the facts. All right, look at a lion right smack dab in his face. All right, stop looking at a lion calling him a rabbit. And then talking about, well, you know, buy some hook or cook, something going to change. No. Fight is fight. You know, if you look at, I look at the Chinese people. I look at their history, their ancient culture, and what they've done on this planet. I look at the so-called Indian people. I see what they've done on this planet. And I look at the people from India, the Indians. And see what they done planet. Then I look at the Caucasian, and I look at their culture, their ancient history, and what they have done. So see, if you get all the facts, then you can make an intelligent decision based on the facts. But
that's right, Doctor. And that's one thing I do as a teacher. We have to look at people's history, their experiences, and their interests to find out more about them. And you have to do that in culture. You know, and, you know, that's what's wrong with our people. We don't even understand our own culture. We reach out for everybody else besides our own, you see.
Well,
what was amazing to me, she kept on saying, I love him, you see. Too. Sorry. Hello.
Yeah, but to me, it's like, I love you, but if you please Excuse me, I got to pull the gas on myself and strike a match. But I love you.
Right. Anyway, lack of knowledge is dangerous to me, in my opinion. It's just dangerous.
I've studied my culture inside and out, and in my opinion, it's the greatest show on earth.
Oh, my God.
All natural, raw, nuts, face up, man. Ain't no, we don't need that. We didn't need no technology to do nothing. We didn't have to take no pills. We just were just straight from the hip, man and woman. But now, we have our people who won't go back to learn anything about themselves. And in my opinion, they have absolutely no power. None whatsoever. I teach law. I specialize in teaching law. But to me, the greatest thing that I have in my position is the knowledge of my own self.
Right.
To the point where you can't pee on me and tell me it's raining.
Exactly.
You can say anything you want to say about the new age and what's happening in this day and age and what's new and all that. I don't care nothing about that. I have to go on to teach it to my own ancestors and that kind of business. But hold on, brother. I'm going to open up another line.
Okay.
Area code 412.
How you doing, Brother Taharka? It's Lisa Parker.
Hello, Lisa. Ladies and gentlemen, my special guest has arrived, and I don't know if you caught any of the first part of our what we opened up on about the sister with the blonde wig. You caught that. What you think about it?
I'm sorry. I didn't unmute my phone. I heard the whole thing. I was sitting here listening to you and listening to that buffoonery. To me, nothing's funny about that because it's the epitome of self-hate. And it's unfortunate that that black man is as wonderful as he is. In spite of her self-hate, he's still there raising his children and providing for his family. Self-hate, when you find, TV hosts that perpetuate things like that and then you get the cousins on there yelling and screaming. My tolerance for things like that is zero. I don't entertain it. I don't find it amusing. I find it just hideous that she knows nothing about her culture. She knows nothing about how glorious black people were and are. I mean, the spirit of us is amazing. If we didn't have that spirit, if we didn't have that survival, if we didn't have the love of self, we would not be here. She would not be on that TV show. We've come through some tremendous trials to get here and some horrendous experiences, but yet we're still here. And she doesn't know those things, and nor instead of all those folks yelling and screaming and, you know, somebody needs to pull her to the side and say, let me show you something, even if she may not be open to it, but you can't always yell and scream about everything. And, you know, you found that on YouTube, but I used to work out at a local gym here, and there was a brother dark, and I don't mean this in no negative way. I love my dark skin. I love dark men. This brother was dark as leather, right?
Okay.
Muscles. You know, he was a trainer. Sometimes he would come over and say, hey, Lisa, do it this way. This is what you'll get from that. And I seen this brother out at the local store. He gets off a Harley Davidson. He takes off his helmet. And he has purple contacts in his eyes. I was floored. I'm looking at him like, what the heck?
Well, why do you?
And
think?
He, I mean, you know, to me, when you, I think when you're aware of who you are, you can see those that hate themselves even on the surface, and they don't even know it. Because when you have self-hate, you do lots of things. You dye your hair blonde. you straighten your hair, you put purple and pink contacts in, you know, you move away from your people. But I have to say one thing she did say, Tarka, and folks will give me flack for this. When you do have and you're around the have-nots, whether they're black or white, they're coming to get it. They are coming to get it. So you can say what you will, but that's the truth. And I've seen it in effect many, many times. But nonetheless, that self-hate is it comes out in subtle ways. It comes out in ways that are very blatant, but it comes out. And we have to start loving ourselves. We can't love ourselves. We can't love anyone else if we can't love ourselves. But that was horrendous for me. It truly was. It's truly horrendous and sad.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, do you think it's possible for a brother and a sister to have a long-lasting, successful relationship when one of them has is trying to attach themselves to another culture? Do you think that that's
Anything's possible, but the stress level on the two of them is going to be tremendous because it's a battle all the time. There's a battle because where's the equilibrium? When do you just enjoy who you are? When do you enjoy the people that look like you? That's a stress. That's a stressor. It wouldn't be me. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. That's like having a Buddhist and a Christian in the same home.
Okay. Well, now, the reason I'm asking you this, because I run into brothers and sisters that tell me, okay, my wife is a Christian. I'm not a Christian. And so we I've done the ancient research on our ancient culture and stuff, and I do know that prior to any religion being introduced to us, we had a natural spiritualism that didn't have anything to do with a religion. So we got brothers and sisters who have adopted religion and made this religion a part of their lifestyle without questioning where it came from, who gave it to us, what is the history of it, and all of this stuff. We haven't answered those questions. So now we have the same situation where we got sisters and brothers inside relationships with one another that have attached themselves to the religious concepts belonging to another race of people that has absolutely nothing to do with them. And we won't do an investigation.
Well, we have to understand that. My background is in history. I hate to talk about it because it doesn't mean much. It's just a means to an end. My bachelor's degree is in African-American history and history. I have two master's degrees. One's in organizational leadership and curriculum and instruction. I peel the layers back in history. I love history. I can do it all day. And you're correct. It is our religion wasn't religion. It was a spiritual belief. You have people that go to religions for many reasons, but any religion that suppresses or oppresses any part of the supreme being, be that woman or man, is not for you. It shouldn't be for you. You have religions that say women have to cover up. You can only see their eyes, and they have to be protected, and you have to slap them into place if they don't act right. And, you know, I read an article in the USA Today a couple months ago, a 15-year-old girl glanced at a 15-year-old boy on a moped. This was in Iraq, and her mom and dad were there. The dad saw it and threw acid on her and killed her.
What?
And killed because she glanced at another boy. It was against her religion. It was against her religion. And before she could apologize, he threw the acid on her. This you have to ask questions when you belong to things like that. it's just not normal. Then you have people in church. The preacher's driving the BMW, and you're getting on the bus.
Uh-huh.
When you go and say, my lights are being cut off, can I get some help? Well, let me see if you've been paying your tithes first, and
right.
then I'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem.
It's a problem.
And people don't want to ask the question because their whole paradigm, generations of going to church, generations of being a Muslim, generations of being whatever, it will be shattered. And it's easier to be apart than it is to be by yourself. And so they don't ask the question.
Hmm. You know, what was mm-hmm. interesting to me, when I moved into my home, I was a bachelor, and I lived next door to this Caucasian woman.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody, in my opinion, they thought she was just the lowest of the low. And this is
mm-hmm.
what I perceive the community. However,
mm-hmm.
one day, because that is a big church across the street from the house. Now, the sisters in the church, they ignored me. Okay, to me, I view it as having an East Coast mindset.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But this particular day, this Caucasian woman walked out of her gate, and keep in mind mm-hmm. that these sisters, they was transporting children from one building to another in a line, and it was like, I would say at least about 8 or 9 women parading these children from one building to the other. But during the same time, this Caucasian woman came out of her gate, come inside of mine. I'm standing on the porch, and she stood there in front of me and asked me, could she use my phone, because her phone had went out. I said, sure, you can use my phone. And I went in the house to get the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came out to the door, the entire parade across the street had stopped. And every last one of the women had their arm folded. They were looking straight over there at me. I said, what is that? I said, do you see that there? She said, oh, my goodness. She said, they think I'm going to come to your house. I said, well, no, we better not do that because they're going to kill me if I do that.
They didn't want you, Taharka, unless somebody else wanted you. And now they perceive somebody else wanted you, so they want to fold their arms and be angry. Please, please,
I mean,
the mentality.
I'm wondering what type of thing is that? Because you know, you don't come across the street to invite me to your church. You don't come across the
right.
street to be friendly. You don't even mm-hmm. speak to me unless I speak to you. Because here comes this lady here who actually can you stop to see I'm going to see if he going to let her in the house. Well, okay. Even if I did, what difference would it make to you? You didn't come in.
Right.
You didn't come across the street to say hello, welcome to the community. Would you like
right.
to come to our church? You know, you didn't do any of that. But this is amazing. When I seen that, I never knew anything like that existed. I seen it with my own eyes. It was like a standing army had stopped, and all people was dead over there. Oh my
God. It's a phenomenon
wow.
that you can't explain. I tell you that much. It's amazing. It is truly amazing. And you know, I wish I had some answers, but. Where do you start? I mean, like I said before, Tarka, slavery has done a job on black people. We don't have the physical chains, but the mental ones are there. And when they freed us finally, and it wasn't through the Emancipation Proclamation, but when they finally said no more, no more slavery,
okay.
and let us run amok here in America. They didn't give us a couch to lay on. They did, and talk about, you know, the brutality. and the murder and the women's children being snatched from their arms, and so they didn't give us a couch for that. And so we kept that mentality. We perpetuated, not because we wanted to, but because that's all we knew. And it's something that needs to be dealt with. It's taboo for many people to sit and talk to a therapist. And it's something that, you know, needs to be done. Somebody needs to sit down and talk about all the pain and all this illness that's within us, and it because it affects every decision that we make.
You know what I think? I think the problem is that we got people who has not recognized the fact that they have been injured, and they think they are normal. They think they're normal. They have not dealt with their own self, their own beliefs, their own how to project their own consciousness and how to be their own selves wherever they go. And because, in my opinion, I think they don't understand the magnificence of who you are. I had a Caucasian gentleman. They mentioned something about hating white people and being envious of white people. And I said, well, first of all, I have to regard that as an insult. He says, an insult? What do you mean? I don't understand that. I said, well, first of all, the culture that I came from has the greatest story in recorded ancient our story and history. So therefore, we rule the world for hundreds of thousands of years to build the greatest empires the world has ever seen. So why would you insult me about being envious of you? For what? And he said, okay, I understand. So you believe that? I said, I only believe what I can prove. I said, would you like to see the facts? I don't need to see any facts and stuff. I said, well, I guess it would make you feel comfortable if I didn't know who I was.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you. I agree with you with the fact that they don't know that they don't know. And it stems from that. When you have a knowledge of self, it's like a brand new spirit.
Exactly.
Instilled in your body, and no one can tell you to hate yourself. No one can tell you that you're not beautiful. No one can tell you that you didn't contribute to civilization because you were the first ones here.
Yeah.
And you told everybody else how to exist and how to be human and divine. And in the situation we're in now, it can get worse, but it has to get better. Because I was talking to a colleague of mine, and he said, sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems hopeless. I said, but, and we'll compare us right now in 2014 to our ancestors that were on those plantations. Somebody didn't give up, or we wouldn't be having this conversation.
That's right.
Somebody did not give up. And we can't either.
I got another caller on the line.
Okay.
Open up the line and see what they have to say. Hold on, Lisa.
Okay.
Area code 757.
Hello there, my brother.
Hey, man.
Hello.
How you have it?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Yeah. I just wanted to have a very interesting conversation. I sat through the whole thing. And I think it's a story in the Bible. There's a lot of good principles in the Bible. I don't try to authenticate the stories or the people, but a lot of times the story is there just where the principle can be inserted and show you how it works. But there's a principle in there where a sower went to sow, but every time he threw seed on unready soil, it didn't grow. But the minute the seed hit, the soil was ready, the seed germinated and grew. And I don't know, because of myself. You know, I've been studying now about 25 years. I own the African Marketplace in Norfolk, Virginia here. And it's a bookstore. It's a cultural center because I sell clothing, jewelry, everything. But one of my favorites is books. You know, that's a black man's kryptonite. You know, they used to thought it was a white woman, but I found out it's a book. You know, so if you put it in, you want to hide something from a black man, put it in the book. He's not going to read it. You know, that was a friend of mine that broke in his house, and they stole all of his electronic gadgets, his computer, his laptop. Not one book on that bookshelf was disturbed. He could have had $1 million in them books. I remember my grandmama and them used to hide money in the Bible because they know people and ain't going in there. You know, but I feel sorry for that sister I heard, you know, but she don't understand. We got the longest history and the greatest history because we're the first people. You know, that long before there was any Egypt, you know, there was Hesopotamia, then there was Kemet. Kemet is when we ruled. And the capital was in Memphis. The Arabs moved it to Cairo when it became Egypt, you know. But they named Memphis, Tennessee after Memphis, Egypt. You know, and the black woman was first. You know, if you believe that Adam and Eve story in that Bible, I got a bridge I'm gonna sell you. Waterfront property. I tell them all the time. I said, you need that book. When God Was a Woman. By Merlin Stone. I said, right over there. I said, you need to get that book and bring it on up here to the register and let me ring it up for you. I have a lot of fun, man, in my store. The store don't make no money. It has never. I'm a retired Greyhound bus driver, and it's two other owners with me. One is a retired New York cop, and the other one's a retired Delta Airlines student. So we don't need the store's money to pay the rent. So it's just like a hobby. You know, we just pay the rent out of our pocket and keep the store there so we can teach somebody what someone taught us. You know, because when the seeds get ready, that's why we want the cultural center to be there. So when they get ready, they can come and learn their history. You know, because our history is so great, brother. You know, I couldn't think of any other color or race I'd want to be a member of. As stupid as we are, the thing I wanted to say about that black woman and the black man, see, the black woman psychologically see the black man as a loser. I mean, before you even get up to bat, see, because slavery represents symbolically a war between the white man and the black man. And the black woman saw the black man lose. He couldn't protect her. He couldn't provide for her because he couldn't get no job. Hello? He couldn't protect her. He couldn't provide for her. He couldn't do nothing for her. And now you got the white man is giving them food. They're giving them clothing. They're giving them shelter, Section 8. They give them temporary aid to needy family. They give them food stamps. And all those programs. She don't understand. They are making her independent of her black male counterpart. Because if she accepts any of them programs, the man can't be nowhere around. You know, and that's destruction of the black family. When you take the woman out of her home, that's it. The home collapses on itself. You know, and I try to tell my people that, but we so hard. Oh, I want to be white. I mean, so why do you want to be white? Black is dominant and white is recessive. Everything, Thomas Jefferson penned these words. He said, if you got a gallon of white paint and you add one drop of black, it should never be called white again. You know, so don't that take it. You got 7 pints of blood in your body, and if you got one drop, the baby's black. Well, don't that tell you black is dominant? I mean, I just don't get it. We got so much overwhelming evidence that we are the greatest. And we still got black people that feel insecure being black. You know, and so it hurts me so bad because I got a big world map on my wall in the store. Three white people came in there, white man, white woman, and whatever it was four because it were two little white kids. And she saw that map and she said, this is where my ancestors come from. She said, we from Germany. We German. I told her, I said, all white folks are German. She said, oh, why do you say that? I said, that's the Germanic tribe, man. I said, that's the root, that's the etymology of the root word German. I said, all white folks are German. I, you know, because they experimented on the albino with that rhesus monkey. And that's why these people got animal genes. You know, and everything they ate, they stayed in the cave 2,000 years. The white man is a caveman. And, you know, and that shows him in an uncivilized and primitive state. And we can prove it scientifically because they got the caveman. I asked her, I said, you ever seen pictures of a caveman? She said, yeah. I said, you ever seen a black one? She said, Dad, you got the deer in the headlights. Because she had never seen that. Yeah. I said, you know why? She said, no. I said, because we ain't never had it now. And everything they ate while they were in the cave was raw. The Moors went up there and taught them how to cook and season their food, you know, how to keep their hygiene up. They tried to civilize them, you know, and they did educate them, but you couldn't get the beast out of them. These people they got animal nature. They kill us by nature, and they're homosexual because that recent monkey that they are grafted with, he's a homosexual. They live in tiers in the mother continent. Old males live on the bottom, young males in the middle, females on top. If you want to get to the women, you got to sleep with them first. And that's their natural order. See, and they got their genes, that DNA from that recent monkey. That's what helped them adapt to the climate. See, but when they adapted, after 2,000 years, they were still up in the caves, uncivilized. So the Moors went back up there and helped to try to civilize them. But you can educate them, but all you got is an educated beast. You know, our history, I wouldn't take nothing for it. And you can read in Civilization about barbarianism by Shaganti Dia. You know, all these books will give you glimpses of what went on. And this man here evolved, and he tried to put his history on us. They evolved from apes because they got the DNA from that monkey. And you can Google it, the rhesus monkey. He blue eyes blonde. And guess what? He Rh positive. Black folk Rh negative. If they ain't watered down too much, you know, but that white man Rh positive. And guess what? That's the monkey blood. You know, so, you know, I appreciate sharing this with you. You know, I'm a friend of yours on Facebook.
I appreciate you bringing this enlightenment to the table. I've done quite a bit of research, and there's some things that I know that I have never said on this broadcast because it's too unbelievable. But nevertheless, it's important and it exists.
Yeah, they're not gonna believe it. And I tell you something else. These are things that there's no website that you can go to that will give you all this information. It comes from an overall knowledge of history. You know, you can Google people with tail and watch all those white folk pop up with those tail. You know, it's a dormant gene. Huh?
I done that, done an article on that, and showed pictures to all the time.
Am I telling the truth?
Yes.
It's a dormant gene. It don't happen every time. But every once in a while, during a pregnancy, that gene gets activated and one of them born with a tail. They remove it surgically at birth. You know, so these are all signs of that recent monkey experiment I'm talking about. And at one time, they tried to put that history on us and say we had tail and we evolved from it. But it's them.
Well, you know what?
You know,
when they came out with that, I tried to figure that out. And the only conclusion that I could come up with was since they came out with it, they had to have seen a brother shadow walk by, going into the quarters with the woman, and what they thought was a tail was not the tail, it was something else.
But the thing is, they're the one that had that tail because they got the genes from that rhesus monkey. And guess what? The white people get lice. Black people don't get no lights. That's an animal or insect. Why do lights land on them and don't land on black people? Because they got animal DNA. And not only that, they stayed in the cave 2,000 years, and the dog guarded the entrance to the cave and kept the wild animals from eating them up. And they deified the dog, you know, because they felt because the dog saved them, helped them make it through. See? And you turn dog around backwards, you got God. See, that was a deity. You know, and these people turn around, if you don't know any better, they'll put their history on you. Mm-hmm. You know,
well,
you're right about that,
but they don't have a chance with doing that with me, because I always stay armed with knowledge of myself.
And you know, they figure me and you out in advance. The minute we say two or three sentences, they sue with us.
Oh yeah, well, what
are you going to do? Walk around and leave me standing there talking until it's pathetic. They know when you're knowledgeable right from a few words you say.
Oh, yeah. I had a mom. I remember one time I was on a job, and I had a big group of folks out there listening to me as I was explaining to them about their culture and their history. And the general manager of the whole company walked up. It was three of them. And they was trying to figure out why was everybody sitting there giving me their undivided attention. They said, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm teaching them about their ancient culture. And they, oh, okay. And they turned around and they walked away. But when we got back in the plant, they all came over there. They said, we need to know if they learned anything. Because if they is, then we might have a problem. It's all right.
Yeah,
you teach all you want, but we want to make sure ain't nobody learning nothing.
I had a preacher hear me speaking one time, and he said, Black History Month, I'd like you to speak to our church. He said, look, we're going to give you $150 a night. He said, I want you to speak Saturday night and Sunday morning when the most people is there. Okay? So, Saturday night, I didn't want to take a chance on them not coming back tomorrow. So, I let them have it. And as I got to speaking, they said the minister and the elders want to see you in the back room, in the meeting room.
Uh-huh.
So I wrapped up my stuff and my projection and stuff, and I go on back there. He said, look, what are we promising? He said, look, well, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pay you for both nights. Don't worry about coming back tomorrow.
I was in a church one time doing the same thing, and they cut off the microphone to shut me down when I start telling
it. And I always take care of a couple of guys with me, because you don't know that these people kill you about religion. I tell a young, a lot of young blacks that, you know, that come up and try to learn up under me and they be around the conscious community. I said, don't take this thing lightly now. People hurt you about that. I mean, we had to physically restrain a guy one night. He told me, I cut your so-and-so head off. I mean, and I said, all right, you can't do nothing to him, but three or four of the brothers had to get together and escort him to the door. And I'll be telling him, I said, you see that? I said, these crazy people, you know, I said, look, I don't want nobody killing me thinking they're doing God a favor. You know what I'm saying? Because when it comes to Christian religion, they think they're on God's side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you telling them that, I said, spirituality is your personal experience with your divine creator. I said, religion, that's all about cloud control. You know, I said, the Europeans had two systems. They get the children, Santa Claus, and the grown-ups, Jesus. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, what do you got to be if you want Santa to come see you? He said, you got to be good. I said, what do you got to do if you want to go to heaven? He said, you got to be good. I said, from the cradle to the grave, they make you good niggas while they steal everything they nailed down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, I got the deer in the headlights. You know, they send that to speechless, like you done did something to them, you know, because they never heard this before. You know, I never knew how many blacks have never heard of Black Wall Street, brother.
I know you're right.
That's the first aerial raid in the United States. See, where they drop balls from the air. And then the second one is the Move organization. A Viola Palmer. They killed a whole family up there. You know, then the Africans and stuff. You know, I said, and that was the U.S. government that dropped that bomb on Black Wall Street. And then I asked him, I said, look, I said, you ever heard of the Gap Band? And they said, yeah. I said, you ever remember that song, You Dropped a Bomb on Me? They said, I said, well, that's what they were thinking about. It's from Tulsa. I said, and the word Gap is the first letter from the three major streets in Black Wall Street, Greenwood, Archer, and Pine. That's Gap. And I said, this is American history. This ain't Black history. And they had never heard that. And then when I always keep my computer so they can go online and pull it up right there. I said, I want to see the look on your face when you see it. Huh? Go ahead. I can't hear you.
I said, I thank you for coming in bringing this information down, my brother. And I certainly appreciate it. What your name is again?
Brother Darnell. Let me give you my number, man, where you can reach me, outside of these shows. My number is 757-650-8405.
Say it again.
And that's my personal. Huh?
Say it again and say it slow.
757-650-8405.
Right.
And that's my personal
Where is your store personally located? Norfolk, Virginia, the name of the store?
My store is at 956 East Little Creek Road. It's right on Little Creek in Chesapeake in Norfolk. Inside the Fair Price Flea Market.
What's the name of it?
The African Marketplace.
The African Marketplace. Okay, we got it.
I make African jewelry, African clothes. Go ahead, my brother.
I certainly appreciate you calling in. And thank you so much for the great work you've brought on us this evening. And we're going to go ahead and continue on with the broadcast because I have some more sisters, some more questions.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you. Okay, Lisa.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. That was fantastic, and I certainly appreciate the brother coming in and explaining the importance. And I would like to say to the audience that's listening to this, if you have a question or comment, go ahead and raise your hand, and we will open up the line. Now, my next question to you is, what do you think about polygamy in the so-called black people?
Well, I don't think, I mean, that was a system in ancient Kemet. They still do it now in some parts of Africa. I don't think black men are ready to have a polygamous system. They can barely maintain one relationship. And I've had this conversation with another young lady that, you know, advocates polygamy. And I always tell her, you know, black men, how can they have three and four different women when they can't take care of the one that they have? And it would probably be, and this is just my opinion, Taharka. I'm not saying this is everybody, but it'll probably just be sexually based. Because what can they do? And like that older gentleman just said, you know, this system has taken the black man's ability to provide for his family away from him for years. And now more black women are getting education, higher education and jobs, and they're getting the jobs and the black men can't get jobs. And they would rather give it to a black woman. It's ostracizing black men once again. And then you have these ignorant sisters that want to bang the brothers over the head with that. A dollar cannot be placed, in my opinion, a dollar cannot be placed on a good black man. He's priceless. And when we find them, and if you're fortunate enough to find one, then you have to appreciate that. And so often, like that guy that was on that show, he seemed like he was a good black man, but then he's married to that woman that doesn't love herself and doesn't know what it is to have him as that man in her life. She says she loves him, but she's torturing herself and him at the same time. Polygamy, not here in America. Not here in America.
All right. Well, we're gonna take a little quick break, and we're gonna check out some dating advice, and then when we come back, then we'll deal with that. Okay.
Okay.
Hey guys, welcome back to DWL Disgusted with Love. So, when I was in college, which was a long time ago, maybe not that long, but it was a long time ago to me, I found out that black men do not like being in serious relationships with black women. They will sleep with the black women. They may go out on a date with a black woman. They'll hang out with a black woman. But as far as a serious relationship, as far as marriage, black men don't want to be involved with black women. And when I first found this out in college, I was like, what? That's crazy. What? That's stupid to me. I didn't understand it. It took me a long time to understand where black men were coming from. Because a black woman, I immediately get offended, but I don't think about, well, why are they saying this? I didn't ask that question. I'm just thinking, how dare you say that? I'm a black woman. What do you mean you would never date me just because I'm a black woman? You would never be in a serious relationship with me. You'll date me, but you'll never be in a serious relationship with me because I'm a black woman. But when I actually sit and think about it, and I put myself in a man's shoes, if I was a black man, I wouldn't date a black woman. There are so many negatives about black women as a whole that now I don't really blame a black man for saying they wouldn't date a black woman. I'm like, shoot, if I was a dude, I wouldn't date them either. Don't date them. And that's bad. I'm a black woman. I should encourage my black men to date with, you know, to date within their culture. You know, it's hard enough for us to find a good black man to begin with. So, of course, I should be encouraging black men to date black women. But when I think about what I'm not talking about, you know, individual black women, because, you know, everyone is different. But when I think about black women as a whole and how everyone sees black women and how most of the time what people see as black women is the truth. It's the majority of black women. Black women, you may be like me. You may have been like me. You may think, you may just be appalled that a black man won't date a black woman. You may not sit and ask why. Now you don't have to ask why. I'm going to tell you why black men refuse to be in serious relationships with black women. First off, black women come off as very insecure. I'm not going to say that black women are insecure because I don't know. I don't know what's going on in the majority of black women's minds. But I feel like most black women come off as insecure. Nobody wants to be with an insecure person. Insecure leads to jealousy. Jealousy leads to accusing people of stuff, going through cell phones, and just doing crazy stuff that a secure person wouldn't do. Most black women are insecure. And you can tell that most black women are insecure because just look at them. I mean, look at most black women. Most black women have fake hair. They have fake eyelashes. They have butt pads now, so now black women are getting butt pads. Some black women get butt implants. We have fake nails. Anything that you could think, makeup, anything that can alter the black woman's appearance, the black woman will use it. A black man is, first off, he doesn't want an insecure woman. And he doesn't want a woman that he doesn't even know really what he's going to come home to. When I see you out, you got your long weave, fake eyelash, your big butt. But when I bring you home, your butt is flat. Your hair doesn't exist. Your eyelashes don't exist. And he's like, wait a minute. This is who I met. You don't look like the same person. why would anyone want to be with someone they don't even know what they look like from jump street? Black women are so insecure that they're constantly altering their appearance that a black man doesn't even know what he's getting to begin with. So why not go date outside my race? Why I just go date another woman that's not black and I know exactly what she looks like because the most she has on is makeup. And when she take her makeup off, she may have a few blemishes. A black man can work with that. Another reason that a black man does not want to date a black woman is because, and everyone knows this is no secret, most black women are rude, mean, argumentative. They belittle people. Any negative word you can think of, a black woman does it. Why would anybody, even if you're a woman, why would you want to be around anyone that's rude and mean all the time and argumentative? There's, I'm always constantly seeing little posts on Facebook saying a black man isn't strong or a strong black man can deal with a black woman's aggressiveness. Why does he have to? If I'm a black man, I'm going to go deal with the white woman or the Asian woman that's calm and knows how to act like a lady instead of somebody that's going to constantly argue with me and roll their neck at me. Who wants to deal with that? If you're a woman, ask yourself if you want to be around a man that's constantly arguing with you and belittling you all the time and just being rude for no reason. Nobody wants that. A black man does not want to... Okay, so you're insecure. You just fake. You got fake everything on your body. Now I got to deal with your bad attitude all the time and I didn't even do anything? Why would anybody want to deal with that? Yet black women are confused and think that black men are weak is what they say. A black man is weak if he can't deal with the black woman's ways, the personalities, her aggressiveness. Why do we have to be so aggressive? Why do we have to be so mean all the time for no reason? It's just crazy. Nobody wants to deal with that. Another reason I found out that black men do not want to date black women is because I was actually on Facebook, and this wasn't the only instance. I've had heard many men say this, but this was good. I don't want to say good. This was good for me to see on Facebook from someone that's not in my inner circle. It's just a random person. So this guy posted that one of his black male friends refuses to date black women because they don't care about their physical appearance. They refuse to go to the gym. And the people commented, I commented too. Every comment was an excuse. First off, it was either an attack or an excuse. Who is he to say that he won't date a black woman just because she doesn't work out? Some black women don't have time to work out, blah, 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 blah. Not one person said, what are you talking about? Black women work out. Nobody said that. So that wasn't even like a common consensus. And nobody said black women do work out. It was just excuse number one, let me bash him. Excuse number two, let me bash him some more. Excuse number three. Not one person said black women actually work out. Now, I will say that more black women are starting to work out, which is awesome. That's great. But I don't understand why you are attacking this man because he refused to date someone because they don't care about how they look physically. They don't know what an apple is. They don't even know what a vegetable. They don't know what kale and asparagus. They don't eat that stuff. They eat brownies. They eat ice cream all the time. I don't blame him for not wanting to be with someone that doesn't care about their physical appearance. I don't want to date Mr. Old Fat and Sloppy. I got to come to you and I got to look at you. You want me to rub your back? It's going to take me 2 years to get all the way down. No, I don't want that. So why is it that black women think it's okay to be just nasty and a black man should accept it? I understand that you don't have a gym membership. Perfectly understandable. But guess what? If you have legs at work and arms at work, you can go outside. You can walk. You can do some exercises inside your house if you don't like being in the sun. You could wake up if you don't have time, wake up in the morning, jog and play for a minute. It's something that will help you look better and feel better and be more appealing to the black man's eye. So, not only are black women insecure, have every fake accessory known to mankind, have horrible, horrible, horrible attitudes and rude for no reason. Talk down to people for no reason. And I can't even look at you and feel some type of pleasure. Now when I look at you, I'm like, ugh. So many bad things about black women. You don't want to work out. Your black women are lazy. You don't want to cook. You don't want to clean. You got an attitude. Just ask yourself, black women, do you want to be around somebody like that? Do you want to be around somebody that's not easy on the eyes, that has a bad attitude, that doesn't care, that they don't even look? Perfect example. What if your man went to the store and bought fake biceps, triceps, and abs, and when he come home, he take that off? You like, whoa, I thought you was nice and swole, and I wanted to rub on your chest, but there is no chest. You got boobs, and I got boobs too, but that's not going to work for me. Put yourself in a black man's shoes, and then see if you still feel the same way when a black man tells you, I don't date black women. My advice to black women is just, one, become secure with yourself. Stop getting stuff to alter your physical appearance. If it's something that you don't like about yourself, if you got a flat butt, go to the gym, go walk outside, run, jog, do some squats. Your butt is a muscle. You work it, it will grow. I guarantee it. I guarantee it will grow. If you don't like your hair, find a beautician that maybe can hook you up. Find something that you like. You don't always have to wear weave. Eyelashes, really, what's the point? No man has ever once said, I was going to talk to her, man, but her eyelashes were so short. I don't like that. Really? What man? Who cares? A man don't even know what your eyelashes look like. He doesn't even know if they exist, but you got eyelashes that come out to here, weave that come to the floor, a butt that's out to here. That's not, none of this is yours. What man would want that? You lazy. Okay, sorry. I'm about to go back on the tangent. If you're insecure about yourself, do something to make yourself feel more confident about yourself. Eat a little bit better. If you have bad skin, it may be something wrong with your diet. You change your diet and it may help your skin. You don't have to just drown your skin in makeup all the time. Stop being so lazy. Go outside, do some exercising. Cook for your man, clean for your man sometimes, rub his back sometimes. It will not kill you. He will thoroughly enjoy it. The biggest thing of all, black women all over the world, please stop having attitudes for no reason. I'm a black woman and I can't stand sometimes to be around other black women because I know I'm about to get a rude attitude vibe from this person where I don't even, you just rubbed me the wrong way. If I don't want to be around it from a black woman, what makes you think a black man wants to be around it? Reevaluate yourselves, lady. Stop being so defensive if someone says something about you. Maybe you need to listen. Maybe you do need to change your ways. Especially if you're looking for a man, and I think most women are looking for a man. And there's nothing better than a nice, fine black man to take care of you. You have to do stuff to get that fine black man. It's not just going to happen. Okay, I've been talking for about 13 minutes. I got to go. Thanks for watching. Please comment, rate, and subscribe. Let me know if I left something out. Maybe I left something out. Maybe it's something else that black men don't like about black women that I left out. Maybe you disagree. Let me know what you think. Thanks for watching, DWL. Bye.
Freeing up capital to make investments may not be as hard as you think. For those of you who have Facebook accounts, send me a friend request over there on Facebook and LinkedIn to Tahaka Amana L. Bay. That's T-A-R-H-A-K-A. Amana is A-M-A-A-N-A and then E-L and, of course, B-E-Y. And you'll be able to see the actual documents clearly showing you how I was able to cancel my mortgage and property taxes contracts, and that way I have freed up capital for investments. To get the apparatus to do this with, go to www.newdebtelimination.com. That's www.newdebtelimination.com. It's not as hard as you think. Send a friend request on Facebook, and I'll grant that request, and you can actually see the documents for yourself. Peace.
Okay, Morris, we're back. Now, my special guest is Lisa Parker, and we're discussing relationships, sex, romance, the whole ball of wax. And I'm going to open up the sister line so she can get back in here so that we can continue on. Now, Lisa?
Yes, I'm here.
I have another question for you, sister. Okay, now,
okay.
We listened to the last plug with the sister talking about why the brothers don't want to engage in a serious relationship with the sisters. But what I would like for you to do is if you can give me all the reasons why they should.
Well, they should?
Yeah.
All the reasons why they should engage in a relationship with a sister.
A serious relationship with a sister.
A serious. Well, Brother Tarka, one of the things that I think is not good is generalization. She's generalizing a whole group of people based on, you know, maybe 10 guys she talked to or 25 guys she talked to. And what I say is all those brothers that say they don't want to, well, good riddance to you, because you don't appreciate who we are as a person and as a entity, a black woman as a entity. Why should they? There are many reasons why they should. I mean, you know, if I can't particularly speak for each black woman, but, you know, the women, we have an essence about us. We're nurturing. We're very caring. We have a strong will to survive. You know, some of the comments she made about us, you know, being strong and overpowering. I mean, if we didn't, we wouldn't be here from our trauma during slavery. We had kids ripped from our arms. We had to put up the exterior. That's, I think, you know, when people make comments about that, they don't delve into why. It's like blame the victim again. We have many things about us, the beauty, the array of beauty, the just who we are spiritually and what we bring to a relationship. And there are so many things that we as black women do on a daily basis. You know, we cook, we clean, we love, we cry, we support. There are many, many things that we do. But to each his own. Those that don't want to, good riddance. See you later. We don't want you. You don't want us, we don't want you. Bye.
Okay.
That's just how
all
I
right.
feel about it.
Okay. Now you have a successful marriage, and in your opinion, do you think you have a happy marriage?
I think a marriage is a work in progress every day.
Okay.
Yes, we're happy, but we have to work at being happy. We have to work at being in a synchronistic manner. You have to, because it's two different individuals coming together as one. And
okay.
If you care enough about your husband and your wife, then you'll do what's necessary to maintain that relationship. And we have to get past all the physical stuff. Oh, well, you know, sex ain't good, so I'm leaving him. A relationship, a marriage, a relationship is so much more than that. We're two divine beings, and we're working through it. You have to realize that, and I think in this day and age, if it ain't working today, then you run away and walk away. There's no fight. There's no working through things. That's just that's just my opinion.
Okay. So you think that if you're going to have a long-lasting relationship, then we must always be conscious of the fact that it's a work in progress and that both parties in the relationship are going to have to put forth 100% effort to make sure that this thing go the distance.
Absolutely. Sometimes it may be 60-40, 70-30, but as long as you're both there working, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. And the communication line has to be open. We have to learn to talk to each other without all the yelling and cursing and all that. So it's detrimental to a relationship, but every relationship's different.
Okay. All right. Now, you have children.
They're adults now.
Okay, all right. So
they're 19 and 21.
All right. So that means that you and your husband, you all have time to go and do things together and enjoy yourselves and just the two of you. Do y'all do that?
Absolutely. We love spending time together, traveling. Doing those types of things, he makes me laugh from my gut, and I enjoy that. And we enjoy sitting on the couch together. You know, I remember I kind of figured out that I was going to be with him when we went on a date, and he spent $5. I said, "Wow, I must like this guy." Our date was $5.
Wait a minute.
$5 to Harker. We went to the Whole Foods Co-op. We got some drinks, and we went to the dollar movie, and I had the best date I had in years.
$5.
I said, I must like it. $5. $5.
Wow.
A good black man. We have to stop putting a price on men and women. If that person is a decent person, enjoy that. You don't need $5. That's all I'm going to say, $5.
Wow. And you had a wonderful time.
I had his arm the whole time. $5. Okay. I said, but you know, that juice you brought me was nasty, but I enjoyed the date.
But wait a minute. The politician, he did the best he could.
I'm telling you, I knew I had a keeper when I let him spend that $5. And even though that juice was nasty, I still enjoyed my day.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. What kind of juice did you have?
We had one of those holistic juices. It was supposed to be like an energy juice with carrots and, you know, spinach. And I tasted like dirt. That thing tastes like dirt.
That was good. But wait a minute. I'm here to tell you that's a good thing because that's all natural. He was looking
absolutely. But it tastes like dirt.
I know, but it tastes...
He wanted to show me he eats healthy, so I went along with the I went along with the brother, and I said, "You pick my juice." And he said, "Let's get that one." I said, "Man, this thing tastes like dirt." But since you paid $2.50 for it, I'm gonna drink it.
Now you got to say he's a good man because he went beyond taste all the way to try to make sure that you had something that was healthy and nutritious.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
I knew it. I knew he was a keeper then. I knew he was a keeper.
All right. Well, I'm so glad if we could just get past the dirt, we'll be all right. tell him I say congratulations. Well done.
Yes, absolutely. Well, yeah, it's all about that person and who they are and how they treat you. And I think, you know, we fantasize. We see this stuff on TV and we read it in the newspaper and, oh, we're getting this superhero with a pocket full of money. And the reality is it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality.
Okay. Well, we got another caller with his hand raised. I'm going to
open
up this line here.
Okay. Okay.
Erico 972. Tell me who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment?
Hi. Good evening, Brother Tahaka and your special guest. I just wanted to comment. My name is Sharon. I'm calling out of Dallas,
Texas.
Hey, Sharon. Hey, I've been listening to the show and everything and all of your clips and everything's been pretty interesting tonight in the comments and things of that nature. However, that last clip that you played about the young woman who was talking about how black women are insecure and all kind of things, well, I'm just, you know, a little tired of hearing that. All of the problems that are between black men and black women is black women's problems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, we have our issues and things of that nature, but it seemed to me as though she generalized all black women into this one group of people, and
mm-hmm.
I don't feel that that was fair, her commentation on what the problem is. I know a lot of young black girls who are in relationships with men, and they are not lazy. They're not insecure. They cook, they clean for their men and things of that nature. So, and these are some younger black girls. So I don't think that her generalization of putting everybody into one category was actually a fair commentary on what the problem is between black men and black women. I think that black women challenge for black men than maybe some women of other cultures and things of that nature. We might be more of a challenge for them, but I don't think we are the 100% the cause of why black men turn to other races and other women.
Well, why do you...
You have something
now, now, let me ask you this. Now, because she pointed out all the reasons, in her opinion, why the brothers don't want to engage in a serious relationship with the sisters. So in your opinion, for what reasons should he engage
to the serious relationship with your sisters. Give me the final points. Give me the points that you think, in your opinion,
I think he should engage in a relationship with black women because we are the most closely person that could define him. And if you get yourself a good black woman and she can identify with you and your culture and your history just as much as you can. And I'm here to say that there are plenty of black women out there that love and support their black men and things of that nature. And we identify more closely to them than anybody of any different culture could ever identify with them. That's why they should stick with us.
Okay. Well, I cannot argue with that. And me personally, I can't imagine having anything other than a sister. And with this stuff that the lady came out with and this, that, and the other, you know, I see this stuff a lot. But still, I personally just happen to have a sister. I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to go along with it. I try to work with the eyelashes, but I
you know, all of that stuff about all the fake stuff, and it is a lot of sisters out there that are Europeanized and things of that nature. They have the weave, the fake nails, the long hair, fake eyelashes, and I see this too in the workplace where I go to work. I see this all the time. And I think it's just a thing about education. And again, it goes back to the fact that a lot of people just don't know a lot about their history, and that's why they're identifying with something that's not meant to be them. But as I get older and I talk to a lot of younger girls and stuff like that, I feel that it's just a lack of education with them. And when I talk to them and I explain that that's not necessary, you know, to hold a man, they mostly want what they're looking for is somebody who's real and genuine and natural and things of that nature. And so it's just a point of just bringing that out to them and let them know that, you know, there are other options other than going the European fabulous way, you know, of doing things. But it's just educating them and talking with them and giving them something, you know, role models and things of that nature to look for, other than they see on TV, like with Oprah and all the people that you see on TV, and they doing the same thing on TV. They wearing the extensions in the hair and the fake nails and the eyelashes. So that's what they're identifying with. But if they can see something different in a different black woman, like myself, I guess, and other black women that I know who are more natural about their way, and then they can adapt to that too. It's just a part of showing them a different alternative than the European fabulous way that they know so much about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you have a question for my guest, Lisa?
Oh, no, I just wanted to tell her that I've been enjoying her the last show and this show and her comments and everything. She seemed to be a very upstanding role model, and she seems to speak very intelligently, and things. I'm just enjoying her being on the show very much, and looking forward to continuing listening.
Thank you, Shannon. I appreciate it.
I'm gonna get try me a $5 thing and see.
Cause that brother ain't got nothing on me. I can do a $5 thing.
You
can try your $5 thing, but you better try the $5 thing with the right one.
That's right. Here you go, Sharon.
That's right. You gotta have the right one right there. That's right.
But I tell you what, I'm gonna spend $400, but I'm coming to Dallas.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about. And when I get there, I'm pulling that $5. That's all I'm pulling at. I ain't pulling that number $5.
All right.
I'm going to work with them $5.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I don't care nothing about the $5 or anything else. You could just bring yourself, and that's enough for me.
I know, that's right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, and y'all listening to this, so if I arrive in Dallas, might be missing in action for a few days, so y'all, anyhow.
Oh, man.
Anyhow, I thank you for chiming in with us, and I have to ask the question and y'all opinion, since I got both of y'all on here.
Uh-huh.
What do you think that the brothers need to start doing to enhance the relationship between him and the sister? What do you, because we've been dealing with the sister now. The sister come on and talk about all this, but let's deal with the brother now. And what do you think that he needs to do, in y'all opinion?
Sharon, you can go first.
Okay, I'll go. Well, in my opinion, I think a lot of the brothers out there are parading themselves off as being men, when a lot of them out there aren't even men. I think most black women, what they could do, they're just boys in men's bodies and calling themselves men. But it takes something to attract a black woman, and what attracts a black woman is a strong black man. And what happened to the days when black women used to feel protected by black men and things of that nature? When things wouldn't go on in your neighborhood, like people robbing you and beating you up and raping you and things of that nature, that stuff was unheard of in the black community because they knew they had strong black men that didn't tolerate that kind of thing. So black women need to feel protected by a real man and stop portraying yourself off as being a man when you're not protecting and taking care of your own. So that, to me, if men would just step up more in that nature, then women would follow.
Hey, I would have to agree with you. I definitely would have to agree with you. I think you took the words right out of my mouth. It's the immaturity of black men. And not all black men are that way. That's not what I'm saying.
No, not all.
Some. And the other thing is, stop putting your hands on these women. You're not their daddy. You're their man. You're not there to beat on them. These young girls that I work with in high school, they're being beat already, middle school and high school. And so they're being prepared for adulthood. Our men just have to learn to love themselves, and then in turn they can love us.
Exactly.
Well, I have to agree with you on that there because, to me, I think I was quite fortunate because my friends, these gentlemen here, they were all bachelors, just like me. But these brothers here, these were some real strong, powerful brothers, and I learned a lot. And a lot of the stuff that they taught me is the same thing that I use today. I never forgot it. And one brother, this brother here, he was a retired teacher. He had a big old home. He had a camper, motor home. He had a Harley Davidson. He had a Corvette Stingray. He had a Mustang 5.0. And he built a garage in the back of his house, and he had a race car that he built from scratch. And he had two pickup trucks. He had everything that he needed. And one day I came to his house, and I was walking up the grass because we'd sit on the porch and we'd talk. And this woman come out the house. Boy, I could tell she was hot about something. And she stormed across the yard, and she was mad, and she was mumbling and fussing. And I said, well, brother, do I need to come back? He said, no, come on up here. Man, come on, have a seat. And I said, well, I didn't want to ask him what was going on. And he said, well, I guess you're wondering about what that was about. I said, well, I saw it strike out of here, so I figured something go right in the house. He said, well, she got mad because I didn't do what she wanted me to do. And I told her I wasn't doing it. And but he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, when they get mad, he said, don't argue, don't fuss, don't beat them up. He said, just show them the exit. So they so they're going around the exit, and then after they calm down, make sure they're able to get back in the entrance. I said, okay. He said, well, don't throw them away. He told me that. He said, don't throw them away. Don't you call her and tell her about you don't want to do nothing more. You let them, they cool off, they'll be all right. And I said, well, okay. So I learned that. And but then I see brothers that want to beat the woman up.
Uh-huh.
We have one brother down here. He go on the woman's job and shoot the woman.
Uh-huh.
So he accused her of cheating and or whatever. But in my opinion, if a man, and I'm talking about M-A-N, I ain't talking about boys masquerading as men. If you
uh-huh.
are dealing with a woman and that woman is going and sex with another man, you had her in the first place. You know, that's what I see. So what you going to get upset about? You know, there's no need for you to get upset and beat her unless she, and still I don't see no reason why you should beat her up. But if she's robbing you and lying and conniving and all this right here, then you need to show the exit and go about your business. But the goal and physically hurt a woman, because in my opinion, I don't think a man can take a woman from another man. That's impossible. Because she's going to go where she wants to go. She going to do what she wants to do. And if she with another man, that's what she want to do. Now, if he came in the house, kicked the door in, held you at gunpoint and then picked her up and took her out, at gunpoint, now we're talking about abduction. We're talking about a whole different situation. But the brothers that's talking about she going with this guy down here, and I'm going out right here, and I'm going to beat him up. Well, wait a minute. What you doing? What are you doing? You didn't leave that alone. Don't, to me, that's very, very dumb. And I'm glad that the brothers taught me the stuff that I was taught learning from them. I learned a lot from them in how to handle different situations in can on. And so I'm just thankful for that. But I think that we have brothers that need to be educated by men.
Mm-hmm.
Need to get you a man. You see a man, you want to talk to him. You know, you sit down and find out, well, looking at how is it able that you're able to live the lifestyle that you're living and live in peace and tranquility, and, you know, how you handle situations. And he'd be more than happy to tell you how to do things. Because I believe in peace. I love peace. I do not like the disturbance of the peace. If there's a disturbance of the peace, then I'm the one that's disturbing it. Before somebody else is disturbing the peace, no. We can't have that kind of can on here.
That is so true. I was talking to my son, who has a young lady. She's just 18 years old. He's just 21.
Mm-hmm.
And they were involved in a dispute and things of that nature. And I was telling him that the best, I was telling him about the relationship that I was in. And I say, we have never had an argument. And I say, that's only because he has refused to engage in one with me. And it's hard to argue by yourself. And I said, I tried that out. I would rant and rage, and he would just sit over there, and I'm not going to argue with you, Sharon. And just refused to get into an argument with me. And pretty soon, I just shut up. Because who am I going to argue with myself? There wasn't no advantage to that, so I just shut up. The argument is over. So I told him, I gave him that advice to do the same thing. You know, if she wants to argue, let her argue by herself. You walk away and refuse to argue with her. Pretty soon she'll calm down and there won't be nothing left to argue about.
I've had sisters get mad at me because they couldn't drag me into the fight. I sit there and they get the river.
And I said, well, excuse me. Will you go over that last part again so I can make sure they understood what it was you said?
And they look at me and say, well, you know what? You make me sick. I said, why? Because I won't get down in the mighty muck. I said, I'm going to cross down there with you. You go on and fuss, and when you get tired, then we can talk to one another as civilized people. But I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to fight because we have 24 hours in a day. And I'm not investing one single minute in chaos. So, therefore, when you calm down, then we can get on with the rest of the day. The sun is shining out. We can throw the grill out there, throw some stuff on the grill, fry up a little soft jazz, and sit there and make the rest of the people walking by think we civilized. So we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Well, it's how you handle yourself, but at the same time, you're going to have some kind of foundation in yourself. And when we're talking about being in a relationship, we have to understand that we're talking about a very, very serious situation because you're talking about interacting with each other. So therefore, you're going to have to have many, many conversations long before you get involved, and there can't be no skeletons in the closet. You need to put everything out on the table. Especially if you're talking about having a serious relationship with somebody, you know that's what I learned. And so that's my take on that. But now, what do y'all think about marriage? The institution of marriage.
What aspect of marriage? I mean, you know.
Do you?
We gotta.
We're
clear.
Talking, all right. Now,
there's men marrying men, they call that marriage, and there's women marrying women, and they call that marriage. Are you talking about man and woman marriage?
I'm talking about the real natural. I ain't talking about no fake artificial manufactured nothing. What about if your husband and wife, male and female, I ain't talking about nothing. About Ricky and Larry. I'm talking about male and female. What do you think about that in the area of the... hold on before I get this question all right. We got another caller with a hand raised.
Okay.
Area code 404. Tell me who you are.
Stanley Scott. Sorry about that, Stanley Scott.
Mr. Scott. What's on your mind? What'd you think about this stuff?
Well, hey, man, I'm to join in because I think you need another man's perspective on the other side of the fence.
All right, let us have it. Bring
now,
it on.
Let me clarify one thing. When we talk about marriage, I'm talking about a man and a woman. I don't know no other type of marriage. Now, I respect anybody's marriage. I respect the law. Now, let me make this clear. I respect the law. Being a civil rights activist, I expect I come to my preference in what I support is a male and a female.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, my question was going to be, before I open up your line, is the sexual aspect of the relationship. How does that supposed to go? Because I know we spend less time during our lifetime having sexual encounters than we do anything else on the planet. So how should you approach that?
Huh.
Well.
Don't everybody jump up at the same time.
Well, I thought you were going to speak.
Go ahead, Susan.
Oh, I can speak. I think it's individualistic. It's based on what that couple seems necessary or what they, but some people, that's the 80% of the time that's what they want to do, but they can't relate to each other the 20% of the time. I think it's overrated. I think The relationship has to be based on more than just having sex. And again, you know, I see people all the time jump into relationships where it's very sexually oriented, and they wonder why it doesn't last past 6 months, because what else is there? What's his middle name? Who was his mother and father? You know, is he mentally challenged? You have to answer these questions before you maintain a relationship. And too often we have these microwave relationships, and they don't last, unfortunately.
Well, we're confusing something here. We are confusing sex with lovemaking, or that other word, the big F word. So let's get on the right page here. Now, we're talking about a marriage here. A marriage should contain lovemaking. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a little sex here, but let me explain sex, lovemaking, and put it in the right perspective. When we talk about sex, sex is not always physical. The most important part of sex is the emotional and spiritual connection in sex, not the physical. So you can have sex all the time, 24/7. When you are thinking about your mate on the spiritual side and the emotional side and the mental side, that's sex too. So let's not get it confused and think that sex only pertains to physical. And that's why we get lost in the relationships, because we always think it on the physical level instead of the emotional and spiritual level of sex. So you should be having sex with your partner every minute of the day, because you should be thinking good thoughts about your partner at all times. That's sex too.
Well, wait a minute now, Stanley. Now, you don't love me with that one. Now, we're talking about, so you are defining the sexual aspect going beyond the physical into the relationship arena, the getting to know each other, communicating with each other. Am I right in understanding that that's what you're saying?
Right. Sex is the whole process. It's not just the physical part. The physical part is just the end result when you're bonding, when you're physically bonding. But the most important part of sex is when you meet a person, y'all develop a friendship, y'all define what your purpose is going to be, if y'all going to take it to the next level, and other different components that come along with that. Now, if we have the time, I'd be happy to expand on that. But there's many components here when it comes talking about sex.
Okay.
I think to put it in a nutshell would be the intimacy part of it, and the physical is the end result.
Okay, now when you say the intimacy, could you define that for us? How does that go?
What brother was just saying, the nurturing of the relationship, the emotional bonding, the spiritual bonding, you know, getting to know one another, that all builds up to the end result, into something lasting. When I don't think, this is just my opinion, but when those precursors aren't there, the relationships don't last long, because physical thing.
That's when you're doing the big F. That's when you're doing the big F. Now, that's the difference. Because, I mean, the true form of any type of relationship is when it's lovemaking. And lovemaking comes in four basic components. There's the spiritual, emotional, mental, and the physical. And that's why you have so many
agreeing.
People jumping into relationships.
We're agreeing. We're in agreement there.
Well, Sharon, you got anything to add to that?
Well, sex happens to be one of my favorite topics, and I got to say, I'm pro-sex all the time myself.
Wait a minute. Are you a Scorpio or something?
I am indeed a Scorpio, and I got to say I'm very sexual in nature, and the only thing different with sex and making love is the difference is that you might be having sex with somebody that you're in love with. That's the only thing that makes it making love. If you're in love with that person, then you might be having sex term making love. But the act of having sexual relationship with somebody doesn't necessarily have to be somebody that you're in love with. You could just be want to have a sexual relationship with them, and that's fine if the two people involved know that that's what it is and don't rule more into it than just that. If two adults come to a decision that they want to have a sexual relationship and that then they define it as that's what it is, then by my all means, I say have a relationship. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can't let one person read more into it than what it is. That's when the confusion thing come around.
What is the best? Having an intimate relationship or just having physical sex, in your opinion?
You said what is the best?
Yeah, which one is the best? Is having a sexual encounter or having an intimate relationship?
Well, I think having an intimate relationship with sex, with somebody that you really care about, is really where it all comes down to. I think you have better sex with somebody that you are emotionally connected with than just random sex.
I agree with you, Sharon. I'd like to jump in there.
I hope everyone is giving their own personal preference and perspective on this, because when I think of sex, I do not have sex with people I don't love. That's just the way I roll. Now, I can't speak to no one else, and I respect everybody's opinion, but I don't get involved with women just to have sex with them, because if I don't have no emotional attachment there's really no respect there. See, so, you know, I might as well just go pay for it and keep moving. So the point that I'm making here, the point I'm making here is when I have sex with a woman, I care about the woman. I have deep feelings for the woman. That's the way I roll, once again.
Wow. That's nice. That's wonderful.
That is, and I can't believe that's coming from a man.
Sharon, you took the words right out of my mouth. If he ain't married, somebody better snatch him up.
I cannot believe I'm hearing that coming from the voice of a man, because it seems like that's been a man's nature, you know, just to have random sex and not connecting with no one particular woman, and it was always just fine because he was considered to be a stud, you know, you the man, and things of that nature, you can do that. But if that's the way you roll, brother, I can respect that.
Well, there's quite a few brothers out here that think that way. And sometimes, much respect to my sisters here, that sometimes it depends on the circle you're in, your network, that you find what you find. That the wise man told the young lad who was coming to the town, and he had the question to the wise man. He said, "What would I find in this town? You find what you seek." So if you want to have a bunch of sex with a bunch of women, you know, that's why we got a high rate of HIV in our community. Because everybody out here, too many people is out here just having sex and have a meaningful relationship. And there's a price that comes with that. And the consequences are very high in our community. So, you know, there's a lot of good brothers out here that think the way I think.
Well, you know, can I jump in and say something? Sharon, that term stud and all of that came from slavery. And our black men were used just as that, sexual machines.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that has been beaten in and ingrained in, and we have to remember that these are the results of that. And we have to just step back sometimes and think about, you know, how we're looking at each other and how we're judging each other, and understand that we both, man and woman, have been through some trauma, and we need to just work it out. And brother, you know, I am glad that you stand the way you do, because there are very few and far in between that have that standard, in my experience. I'm not saying all, just in my experience.
Right.
And it's a good thing.
In mine, too.
It's a good thing to hear a black man stand up and be a black man. And I thank you for
that. I agree with you, sister, on that. I haven't heard a minute.
I apologize. Go ahead on, ma'am.
I was just saying that I agree with the sister who was saying that, and I haven't had the privilege to meet very many men. I wish there were more of men out there like you that really can connect emotionally with someone before, you know, they had sex with them, or when they had it, that they really had a connection with them. I can admire that, and I respect that.
Yes.
Hold on, Miss Stanley. I think most men are not emotional. I think most of them are practical.
Meaning?
See, to a woman, love to a woman is love to a man is a thing apart, but to a woman is a whole existence. And what I mean by that is because she's an emotional creature. We look at him as having the same type of connection to things that we have, but he's different. His makeup is different. When it comes to the children, dealing with the children is different. His approach to relationships with a woman is different. Me personally, I don't think there's no man on the face of this planet need to fall in love with a woman. I think he needs to love her, but make sure that he's standing up, not falling nowhere. So
what I mean by that is he's
got to be there because it's more to his position than emotionalism. He's got to be strong. He's got to protect. He's got to lead. He's got to guide. He's supplying fulfillment, discipline, and all of these things. So, because I have seen men, males rather, fall in love with women to the point they run around and crying and all kind of stuff, and I'd be like, boy, what's wrong with you? Hey, man, I love that girl. I said, why you better? Is she seeing you crying? Because if I was her and I saw you, I had to get away from you because you couldn't protect me from nothing. that's just the way I see it. Y'all got to you.
I understand that, but I need to go back here a step here. Now, when we talk about slavery mostly took part in the South. Now, there was, Africans was here before slavery started, before Christopher Columbus came here. But that was made in the South. But, the point I'm making here is that the brothers out there doing, as some of these sisters say, and some of them are, where the sister has in the position to change that. Because regardless of how a man come to you saying that he want to have sex with you and all this and providing you with a nice dinner, maybe some money and some other things, you still have the right to say no. You still have the right to define the relationship. Too many women, because of low self-esteem, fall for that mess. And then they perpetuate generation of brothers going around here, some brothers, not all, some brothers going around here feeling that they can have sex with any woman they meet. But the sisters has to, and it's very important, I want to make this clear, the sisters today need to change their value system because they're like with these brothers walking around with their pants hanging down off their butt. If these sisters, majority of them, will come together and say, I'm not going to date you, I'm not going to have you around me until you pull your pants up, that crap will change overnight. So sisters have more power than they know. They're just not using it.
I have to agree with that 100%. Because I've seen a woman walk in the store with her son, and he was taller than she was, and I looked dead at her, and looked dead at him, and she dropped her head because she was embarrassed that her son had his pants hanging down past his behind. And so we got to put a stop to this here kind of foolishness. And I question any woman's intelligence that's hollering and running the ribbon and talking about I'm in love with a joker walking around with his pants hanging down off of his butt. I have to question her.
They love them. They absolutely love them. I see it every day
sure
at work. They love them. And they
don't
love them. And the guys,
they don't
the guys
love
like
them.
They do.
Stop
they,
saying they love them.
They,
that's
like
they don't love
they
them. How can you love something
like
more than you love yourself? How can you love something more than yourself?
I didn't say that, but I didn't say they love them more than they love themselves. They love
what
that
No, you misunderstand what I'm saying. No, it doesn't represent nothing. How can something that's nothing, how can zero be something? I'm trying to understand that because, what I did with conflict resolution, and I'm a civil rights activist, how can that be something? How can that be something? That's nothing. Any woman that walk around with a guy with them old, what they call them, them little T-shirts they be wearing, them white beaters.
White
going
beaters.
Going to a restaurant in Applebee's and all these places with these guys here. That tell me that she's nothing because she's accept nothing. She's accept a nothing guy, so that means that she's nothing. That's a low self-esteem, a low value system mentality. Mm-hmm. It must change in our community.
But there you
know,
that's part of our problem. That's why we can't change, because we always point the finger at each other instead of trying to help one another. That's judgment. We're looking at something and we're judging it. And that's part of the problem. We judge and we make assessment on based on what we see. And even though he may have a T-shirt on with no sleeves and his pants down, we don't know his story. We don't know where he came from. She may be with him. We don't know her story. I work in the public schools here. The stories that these kids have, they take into adulthood. They don't know that they don't know. And so we have to teach them, even though they may not want to hear it. We have to live by example. And instead of shunning those people and saying you're nothing and she's nothing, we need to say, hey, sister, you know what? You don't have to walk around like that. I told three girls today that. Weave, fake nails and everything. And the young lady said to me, well, Miss Parker, this is part of who we are. Honey, but you can change that. And that's what I told her. One decision at a time. You don't have to be a product of your environment. And we have to stop blaming the victim.
That's what I'm not.
I like to comment on this pants way. I have two young men that are in this generation. I think it's more of a generational thing too. And the girls who in the younger generation, they like those guys that dress like that with the pants and have a certain, as they call, swag about them. I have two young men. One of my youngest son, he's 19 years old. He dresses like that with the big pants, and he don't have his pants hanging down, but they be mighty low and things of that nature. He don't have his boxes or drawers showing, but he'll have another pair of shorts. He'll have like three or four pair of shorts on up under one pair of pants and things of that nature. And he got dreads in his hair and things of that nature, and the girls just love him to death. They think he's a thug, but he's not a thug because he's very intelligent, and he scored some of the highest on all the statewide tests that's ever been given to anybody. He's very intelligent, but he has that look of a little thug, and the girls just fall all over him for that look. Now, I'm just saying it's a generational thing. Just like you said, if the girls would say, don't wear it like that, then, but the girls are not saying that. The girls of his generation is liking that look on the young men.
Well, you tried to be right about that. So when I was on the job, I had a girl. She was, the question was, what is a real man? And she said, if he got dreads, he got gold teeth, that's real man. And I'm like, what the heck done happened? Where did it come from?
It's a new generation of
folks. Where did it come from?
No, it's not. It's the apathy and denial. And I'm not to speak on it. First of all, I understand what you're saying, man, but and I know you don't know me, but I'm very deeply involved in the community, very deep. And I'm saying you can Google me at any time. But let me explain something to you. We can always make excuses for our kids, the way they act, the things that they do, talking about where they don't come from. Well, my mother and father, my father had a third-grade education. My mother had an eighth-grade education. And they raised 14 kids during some of the hardest times when white folks were stepping on them, hanging them, pulling them out the door, doing all kinds of stuff to them. In the day, you have these mothers out here, these mothers, are causing most of these problems with these kids out here today because they accepted that type of lifestyle. They have accepted the mothers because a lot of these boys out here live with single parent mothers, and they have accepted that. And that is very dangerous to our community, the way we're going today. So, you know, we can continue to make excuses for these folks, but that's not going to help the situation because I don't know y'all, but most of them. with the solution,
what is the
first
solution?
Of all, I can tell you, solution is with the woman. The woman is the most powerful part of the family. Now, they say the man supposed to provide and protect, but the woman is the most important part because she gives life. She has the ability to build a man up or tear one down. If these sisters will come together and say, we're not going to have this anymore. We're going to stand together. We're going to help each other. Where a sister may have be a single parent, and she may have two or three kids, and she need help, the mother sister join in and help her with a support group. And see, that we're not going to allow our kids to go down this road no more. We're not allowing our kids to go up to the school and cause all kinds of problems, dismal problems. Now, I write for the Florida Times-Union as a community blogger. I speak at the school board meetings, every one of them since I've been back from Atlanta only 5 months. In city council, I'm having a leadership summit, and I'd like everybody to be there. I'm having a leadership summit March 27th at City Hall. We're going to talk about these issues because we need new leadership in our community. But the woman is a very powerful component in any race. She can build a race up or tear one down. This is what Malcolm X said. Many scholars before Malcolm X said the same thing. And if you... I don't know if y'all believers in the Bible now. It doesn't matter. But there's great stories in there that tell you the power of a woman. That's in the Bible. And the woman can change her community because of what she stands for. But if she continues to accept and be in apathy and denial as the component that drive our community forward, then we're in bad shape. We in very bad shape. We in bad shape now, but we're going to be in deeper shape in the next 3 to 5 years if we don't change our mindset of how we approach these problems that we have in our community. And we have some very serious problems.
Okay, well, Stanley, now I'm going to mute out the other two mics. I'm going to take a little quick break because I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. Y'all hold on, and when we get back, we're going to ride this thing out a lot, okay? So everybody just sit still and we'll be right back. Hold on.
Sometimes you need somebody just blows your mind. Yeah. Sometimes you don't know what to do. But you gotta go back to the sugar shack. Has anybody seen my lady? Little walking, the baddest thing alive.
right, Mose, we back. Now, the phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment, go ahead and raise your hand. I will open up the lines so you can tell us what you think about this situation involving the relationship between the brothers and the sisters. Okay? All right. Now, Lisa,
yeah.
Give me your rendition, of the solution to the situation going on in relationships between the brothers and sisters. What do you think that we need to do?
Well, it's difficult to give a generalized solution because everyone's experience is different. Everyone's background is different. And so what it takes for myself and my husband to make it through a situation may be different for Sharon or you, but we have to start with loving ourselves, having high self-esteem for ourselves, and learning how to communicate without all the animosity and the anger and, you know, the yelling. And that I believe a lot of that comes from knowledge of self. Knowledge of self can be a great foundation for building on those other things. So that's what it would be for me. But, again, I don't want to generalize because every experience is different.
Okay. Well, Sharon, what you think?
I must agree with Lisa. Yes, I'm here. I must agree with Lisa. I think each situation is different and each person involved. But I see the solution as it's just got to be an open communication between the two people, and they've got to they got to be on the same page. They got to be on one accord, you know. You can't have one person have knowledge of themselves and following that type of thing, and then the other person being like in the Christian religion or something like that. It can't be on opposite ends, is what I'm saying, for it to be successful. I think the secret to it is that you just all got to be on the same page and fighting for the same thing that you both believe in. It's got to be a common ground.
All right, Kelly, what you
think? Well, first thing, you have to define your purpose in a relationship. And then you have to be able to sit down today and write your goals down. And then when you write them down and both parties agree to the goals, they have to sign the name to the bottom of. And each and every day they should read those goals. But they have to in a relationship. What we found, and I do numerous studies of the think tank that I operate, the African American Economic Recovery Think Tank, we found out that it's very important that people at least once or twice a week have a time out where they sit down to the table, have a good meal like the old-fashioned days, and talk about things and be truthful to each other and agree to disagree without leaving the table with an attitude or upset with one another. And then sometimes, and it's very important that I say this, sometimes, you know, we may have things on our mind. We have to find the time. We have to at least ask our partner, is this a good time? Can we talk about this at this time? You know, other than it being an emergency situation where someone is hurt or something, you have to say, is this a good time? Because, you know, when something on your mind sometimes, you may want to talk about it, but that may not be the right time for your partner. So we have to look at those things and be very cautious and careful how we approach a situation when we're talking about something that we don't agree with. But the most important thing, make sure that you always have this as your common ground to agree to disagree. And we have to make sure our purpose are in line with our goals. And if people follow those, some of those basic things, they will find the rainbow, the happiness at the end of the rainbow. And anything is possible if both parties want it to be.
Well, you know what I think? I think today people that are involved in relationship and marriages, it seems to be they are holding on to one another now. And I believe that is because of the economic times and natural disasters and economic threats and all this stuff. I'm looking at situations where people today are, willing to stick it out. You know, we're gonna, you know, I don't want to go back and start over in another relationship. I'm going to make this thing here work with where I am. Okay, this is what I'm being.
Well, a lot of them stay in relationships. I agree with that. A lot of them stay in relationships for that reason, for the materialistic possession. But then what I find out the problem is the most important thing is stay in a relationship if you have kids. And that's last on the list today. See, when I was coming up, we didn't walk behind our parents. We were in front of them. But today, if you look at a lot of families, the kids are walking two or three steps behind. And they think that they can buy the kids materialistic things, but to stay on the relationship part of it, too many people come together for all the wrong reasons. They come together for the new house, the car. But what we found out today with so many women making good money today, a lot of them is kicking them dudes to the side and moving on if they see something that they think is a little bit better. But as I tell them all the time in meetings here, no matter what side of the fence you're on, you still have to water the grass. So it doesn't make a difference how good he looked today, because that same person may look good one day and be totally ugly the next day with his attitude. So when you're going into a relationship, both people should check out the attitude and the character of the person more than what they bring to the table as far as finance and everything else. Because if you have those two, attitude, the right attitude, and the right character, everything else can be worked out, and you can be successful.
Okay, well, Lisa, what do you think about that?
I agree. You have to look at the foundation of the relationship and where it's starting. I don't agree that people should stay together because they have children. If the marriage is dysfunctional and you have children, whether you realize it or not, you are naturally teaching your children how to dysfunction as adults. And that's how they're going to function when they become young adults in relationships. If like I said, if the foundation is wrong and then you bring children into it, it's going to be a bigger problem. And I have a friend right now. She's been married 30 years, and she's miserable. And she stayed for the children. This is her second marriage. She has 10 children. She stayed for the children, and she's miserable. And some of the things she tells me, she says and does to her husband, I couldn't even imagine. And I asked her, I said, so you think you're doing a good service by staying for the children? You're teaching your children how to live in dysfunction. And she doesn't want to hear that. She does not want to hear that, and it's showing up in her children's behavior, because her youngest one now is 14, but she has five that are out of the house. And it's dysfunctional. So it's not a good thing to say when it's dysfunctional and you have children. You probably do your children a better service by separating and still being parents. That's part of the problem.
I'm jump in there a second, if you don't mind. Please, I would definitely like to jump in. The reason why I'm jumping in here, because, see, we can always find examples on the right side and the wrong side of any situation. But I'm talking about the collective as a people. And I go in many meetings, and sometimes people interject their personal relationship with people or relationship that they have with friends. And what we say to them all the time, there's three sides to every story. And sometimes we, unless we are a fly on the wall, we don't know really what's going on in that relationship. And sometimes the person who's out there complaining about the relationship or have a problem is the one who is the problem. So sometimes, you know, we need to talk, focus on the collective, because there's nothing in the world that fits everyone. Nothing in this world. And we can't assume that, neither try to act on that. Because if we try that, We're just as crazy as anybody else. There's nothing in this world that fits everybody. But I'm talking about us as a people. We need to look at those things and try to work things out with each other. And if nothing else, since we brought these kids in the world, we should be able to sacrifice for them and do things for them to keep them going. Because when we break up the family, it causes a lot of pain and generational pain on them. But we are so self-serving in our behavior today that all we think about is ourselves. And that's the point I was making.
Okay. I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But the dysfunction has to stop on all levels. It's dysfunctional.
Right.
Well, Sharon, what you got to say about that, Sharon?
I can understand the fact of trying everything to make a relationship work before you leave is the best option. But I don't think anybody should stay in a relationship just because of kids. Now, I was married for 12 years, and we had two small kids, but it was a very dysfunctional, volatile relationship. And I stayed for 12 years because of kids. I stayed in there that long until one night I noticed that from the reaction of my boys that staying in that relationship was doing them more harm than actually getting them out of that relationship. And after I dissolved that relationship, I actually had my oldest son had to seek therapy and stuff out, and I found out through therapy that staying in it as long as I thought I was staying for them, it actually staying in that type of relationship caused him more harm than getting him out of it at an earlier time. So I don't agree about staying in a relationship that's volatile and dysfunctional on the sake of the kids. Sure, you try every which way you can to see if you can make that a change in that relationship and make it work, but if you can't, then I think the better thing for the kids actually is to get them out of that situation than to leave them in it.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. I never said in my initial point on this segment that, Steve, no matter what's going on, because I'm saying a lot of damage can happen to the kids in the relationship. That's an individual decision. I'm talking about a collective. That's individual.
Oh.
Each person has to look at their own relationship and find out what's the best action to take in that relationship.
Right.
Okay. Well, I have to agree with you all involving that because I tell you something, children, especially when they're little children, one of the most damaging things that could ever be done to a child is for their mother and father to separate. A child, that creates an imbalance in a child the likes of which you cannot believe. That is extremely damaging to a child. The child never will get over that. When mama and daddy separated, especially if they're together when that child is born and they raised up and they in the bed with mom and daddy and, you know, they with mom and daddy, mama doing, daddy doing and everything, that's holistic to the child. But when the separation comes, the child suffers tremendously. They're trying to figure out, well, where's my daddy or where my mama and why y'all can't be together. And a child, they never can understand what is it that's so damaging that y'all can't be together. I need y'all. I don't need just my mama. I need my mama and my dad. And that's very, very damaging to a child.
Yeah, so, well, we've been working on that. Like I say this before we close out, we've been working on that, and the term, the name of it is co-parenting. See, as my mentor, Mr. Edward Exon, right here in Jackson, would tell me all the time, we are the only people in America that pick up all the bad things the white folks do, but none of the good things. And one of the good things that a lot of nationality do when they get a divorce, they continue to co-parent. They sit down with their kids and let them know that they cannot no longer be together. But they continue to work together and show respect. They don't talk about each other in front of the kids.
Exactly.
And then they continue to meet together and have different events, family events, and the things of that nature. Because some people just can't stay together. But they have enough love for the kids to put them first.
Exactly.
And continue to co-parenting with them, which is very important. That's something I will be talking about when we talk about rebuilding the family on March the 27th at City Hall, co-parenting. It's something that we should embrace. in the African American community.
That's very true, because even after my ex and I separated, I never talked about their father to them, and their father still had a relationship with them, and they always knew it was their father, and I let them get their own opinion. When they got big enough, you know, they went and spent time with their father and things of that nature, and then they would come back to me, but they made up their own mind about, you know, what was each person was about. I didn't fill their mind with negativity because of my feelings for their father. I let them get their own conclusions about their dad.
Okay. I think that was a good thing because when you see the child, in order for a child to be whole, that child has to have a physical bond that they can touch and they can feel and that they can see. Because my mother and father separated when I was a child. And he was a truck driver. He'd come to the house, and I was so glad to see him, and I didn't want him to leave. And for most of my life, I could not understand what is it. Why y'all two can't be together? I need both of y'all. And there were times when I was in school, I was in junior high school, and the teacher say, we want you to stand up and tell us what did your family do for the summer holidays? And I couldn't raise my hand because I was with my mother and my father wasn't there, and I couldn't say nothing about what me and my mama and my daddy did for the summer holidays. And to me, that was devastating. It was as if I only had a half a body. That's the way I seen it. When he would come and see me and he got ready to leave, when he leave, I don't know why I would do it. I was just a toddler. But I just go pulling out my pants and crying because I didn't want him to leave. I wanted him to stay, and I just wanted him. If he's standing there and talking to my mama, I want to move out the way so that they can talk about whatever they want to talk about, but just make sure that they settle this thing and so that we can all be one. That's what was in my mind as a child, and it was very, very devastating. But anyway, I certainly appreciate you all for being here. And I thank you, Lisa, and Sharon, and Scott.
Yeah.
Appreciate y'all being here. And we're going to bring this thing to a close. And so I thank you all. And next time we'll be coming up, we have some more very informative information to bring to the table on Morse Talk Live 100. Okay? So you all have a good evening. I've been your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and until next time, y'all have a good night.
Today's special is Memphis Soul Stew. We sell so much of this, people wonder what we put in it. We're going to tell you right now. Give me about a half a teacup of base. Now I need a pound of fat back drums. Now give me 4 tablespoons of ballin' Memphis guitars. This gonna taste all right. Now just a little pinch of organ. Now give me a half a pint of horn. Bring to a boil. That's it right there. Now beat